Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's August 25th, 2024, and that means there's only 4 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we'll learn about the creation and inspiration behind the Christmas hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. We'll also give you a recipe that lands on the intersection of Mexican cuisine, Italian cuisine, and Christmas spirit. We've got another Who Sang It Best, and Anthony and Tom from Tis the Podcast stop by to give us a list of their favorite movie Santas. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome, Yule Believers, to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who is all ready for the burr months to begin, Tim Babb. Yes, the kids are back in school, which means the summer is effectively over and the back half of the year has begun. Yes, our time is coming, friends. Our holly jolly time is coming. But it's not quite here yet. So in the meantime, I need a little Christmas. Now.
We need a
This Christmas tip is inspired by a recipe I saw on TikTok for Christmas quesadillas. This is a great one because quesadillas are a go-to in our house. They're easy and tasty, and all you need is tortillas and cheese. Then you can improvise and add other things to make it your own. Add some chicken, some beef, some spices, some sauce, maybe some refried beans. Do whatever you... It's your quesadilla. Go nuts. But I'm sure you'd like to know how to make it Christmassy, since a quesadilla is not exactly a stereotypically Christmas food. Well, I'm going to take you back to your grade school arts and craft days. But first, you lay down one tortilla and then put all your cheese and whatever else you want on it. Then you take a second tortilla, fold it in half. Then you fold it in half again. Then you fold it in half one last time. Now, remember when you were a kid and you'd fold a piece of paper a bunch of times and then cut a bunch of holes in it so that when you unfolded it, the paper looked like a huge snowflake? Well, you do the same thing with the tortilla. Now, in the TikTok video, they use scissors to cut the tortilla, but I found that to be way too unruly for my tastes, so I just use a knife. So after you cut your holes, take out the pieces of tortilla, you unfold it, place it on top of your other tortilla and cheese, and you cook it on the griddle or in a frying pan. In the TikTok video, they didn't flip theirs, but I did, because I want that cheese nice and melted. Also, we added another wrinkle when we made ours. Instead of just cheddar cheese, we used mozzarella, and instead of chicken, we used pepperoni. And that's how we created the Christmas pizzadilla. Let's see what the 13-year-old and the 9-year-old thought of these Christmas pizzadillas.
All right. Snowflakes.
I didn't know they're gonna be shaped like this.
So you know how like when you cut a piece of paper up to make it into a snowflake?
Yeah.
That's basically what I did with the top tortilla.
Oh.
And then you put it on top. It's four, or I cut his into more than four. Oh, I cut his into six. I cut yours into four. Is that gonna?
It's gonna be fine.
Okay. So that makes some Christmas pizzadillas.
Cool.
Pizzadillas. That sounds like a fun word to use. Also, but I've been working on my handstands. They're pretty good.
Also, James is working on his handstands, so that's important to know for these Christmas pizzadillas.
Yeah, like, you will not be able to make them if you don't do a handstand first.
At least one.
In retrospect, I should have let the boys cut up their own tortilla snowflakes, but if I hadn't, I would have been able to capture their enthusiastic reaction. Woo! I will be submitting this episode for a Peabody Award. But anyway, a link to the original TikTok video is in the show notes, and I'm hoping to put a video of our special Can't Wait for Christmas pizzadilla version on the Can't Wait for Christmas TikTok very soon, so keep an eye out for that. And while you're keeping an eye out for that, keep an ear out for our next segment, Five Golden Things. All year, I'm turning my countdown feature over to the other talented and merry hosts in the Christmas Podcast Network. Although last time, I did a little something special for our listener anniversary episode, and I had my mom do the Five Golden Things segment. It was great, and my mom is adorable, and if you haven't heard our July episode, make sure to queue it up after this episode. But don't go anywhere yet, because this month we are lucky to have two of the L's from Tis the Podcast, Anthony and Tom. They've got a 5 golden things list for us about everyone's favorite man in red.
Let's give the people what they came for!
No, not you, Deadpool. We're talking about Santa Claus. Take it away, fellas!
Nothing says Christmas movie quite like Santa. Who plays Santa can be the deciding factor on just how good a Christmas movie is. And to walk you through the 5 best Christmas movie Santas.
In Julia's absence, everybody's favorite elf, Anthony.
I'm Tom, and we're 2/3 of the elves from Tis the Podcast.
The podcast that's determined to keep the Christmas spirit alive 365 days per year.
Starting off somewhat controversially, Anthony, lead us in with number 5.
Number 5.
I don't think it's controversial at all, but I'm ready for all the hate mail. Mr. David Harbour of Violent Night.
You just get off?
I've been taking a break between shifts, I guess you could say.
You ain't driving, are you?
I steer a little, but the reindeer do most of the work.
One of the best Santa Clauses in recent years, with one of the best looks in recent years, and a personality that is right out of the Anthony Caruso handbook.
I wasn't quite ready to put him there. My number 5, which brought a big argument before we started recording, is
honorable mentions.
Anna Kendrick from Noelle.
When I was a little girl, Christmas Eve was always the best night of the year. But this time it was better than ever. Because instead of getting the presents, I was giving them.
I like to pretend that movie doesn't exist.
Which brings us to number 4.
Number 4.
Tim Allen as Santa Claus in The Santa Claus.
So let's make this simple. I say name. You say Scott Calvin. Name?
Kris Kringle.
Name?
Santa Claus.
Name?
Père Noël. Babo Natale. Père's Nicole.
Papa Gigio.
Unbelievable series. Great job. Tim becomes Santa, which was a beautiful transformation to watch. And I'm here for it.
Number 3,
in another controversial move, possibly, we have the best Miracle on 34th Street Santa Claus, Richard Attenborough from the 1994 remake.
Don't make me look bad. Them things cost $70. He just looked at them.
I tell you what, Shoppers Express have got them on sale at $34.99 with a $5 rebate. Now, that's reasonable enough, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks. But let me ask you a question. Since when is Kohl sending customers someplace else?
Oh, I don't think it matters where the toys are sold as long as it makes the children happy.
Don't get us wrong. Edmund Gwynn is fantastic, but nothing beats the little sign language scene. And his relationship with Mara Wilson is perfect.
Mara Wilson is unbelievable in that.
Number 2
is an oft-forgotten Santa, which is David Huddleston from the 1985 movie Santa Claus the Movie.
What is all this? They're Christmas toys. Waiting for you? For me? Oh. What have they got to do with me?
You're going to give them to your children.
There must be a mistake. We have no children.
You do now. You have all the children of the world.
But how could I deliver all these toys? I won't live long enough for that.
Both of you will live forever.
He is one of the best, and if you want to have any idea about how iconic he still is today, they still use his sleigh ride scene from that movie in the opening of the Christmas Spectacular at Radio City every year.
Number 1.
Everybody's favorite grumpy Santa Claus, Ed Asner from Elf.
I need an elf's help.
I'm not an elf, Santa. I can't do anything right.
Buddy, you're more of an elf than anyone I ever met. And the only one who I would want working on my sleigh tonight.
Really?
Really? Will you fix it for me, buddy?
I'll try.
He may be grumpy. Dorothy from the Golden Girls may have been his Mrs. Claus in another universe because he has that personality. But he has all the heart. He makes Buddy feel more like an elf than anybody else and makes Buddy feel like he has a place to fit in this.
Let's just take a moment to appreciate just how well Ed Asner has done as Santa. We've got him as Santa in Elf, the regular show, all of the other reindeer. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Christmas Vacation 2, The Story of Santa Claus, Papa Noel, Christmas at the Bayou. I mean, y'all, Ed Asner is Santa par excellence.
And Ed Asner shouted out to the podcast once, even though he was confused and thought we'd like to pretend we were real elves.
All right, Anthony, after that list, I am ready to stop working and go watch a good Santa movie.
Me too, with my pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks this morning.
Bye.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Tom. And I know you were with us in spirit, Julia. Now, if you'd like to hear these fellas and Julia on their own podcast, Tis the Podcast, I put a link in the show notes of this episode. Now I'd like to offer a bit of a peek behind the curtain. I get inspiration for the show in strange places. For instance, we have a tradition in our house of a rotating movie night. First my oldest picks a movie, then the next night my youngest gets to pick, then my wife, then me, then back to the oldest. This makes it so everyone gets a chance to see something they're interested in, and also a chance for all of us to be exposed to each other's tastes. This way we can see plenty of Star Wars and Marvel movies, but also get to see all of Disney's Zombies and Descendants movies, plus classics like The Goonies and The Princess Bride. Now, a few weeks ago, it was my pick, and instead of a movie, I chose a trio of episodes from the old Justice League cartoon, which I have to admit, did not go over gangbusters. The youngest left the room, the oldest went to the kitchen to make some food, and my wife was on her phone playing the New York Times games. But before they completely checked out, we watched a Christmas episode of the Justice League, and in the Christmas episode, Martian Manhunter had gone back to Smallville with Superman to spend Christmas with Mom Pa Kent. At one point, Martian Manhunter is wandering through Smallville and witnessing the charm of a small-town Christmas. Then he comes upon a church where the congregation is singing this song. At this point in the show, my oldest turned to me and asked, "Is this song in the public domain?" Because, like any good parent, I've made sure my kids know about the expense and hassle of music licensing rights and copyright restrictions. But embarrassingly, I didn't know if this song was in the public domain or not, so I went to look it up. And when I did, I discovered that the backstory of this song is interesting enough to do a whole feature on. So that's what we're doing today, as we talk about the classic Christmas hymn, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old.
To answer my son's question, yes, this song is most definitely in the public domain. Well, let me be more clear. The music and lyrics are in the public domain, but any recording of it that's less than 96 years old is definitely protected by copyright. So, for instance, that Bing version you just heard is definitely protected by copyright, and a little later in this segment, I'm going to play an instrumental version of this song as a music bed while I read some of the lyrics, and that version of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear was arranged and performed by Kevin MacLeod and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license. Now that I've answered your burning questions about copyright restrictions, let's go back to the song itself. It was written on Christmas Day back in 1849 by Sears.
There's more for your Christmas at Sears.
Save $20 on this Craftsman timing light.
Sorry, my mistake. I should have said his full name, Edmund Hamilton Sears. He was in fact not a department store, but a Unitarian parish minister and author. He was born in Massachusetts in 1810, and he grew up loving poetry. He didn't immediately know he was going to be a minister. He initially went to Union College and even trained to be a lawyer for 9 months. Eventually, he found his way to Harvard Divinity School, which must have worked out well because he graduated in 1837 and began preaching as a missionary in Toledo, Ohio. After a year of that, he began a short ministry for a small congregation in Wayland, Massachusetts. Then, in 1840, he moved to a much larger parish in Lancaster, Massachusetts. He spent 7 years there, but it took quite a toll on him. Ultimately, he had a nervous breakdown and left Lancaster to return to Wayland to recuperate. Among the things that disturbed Sears were the inequality of men and women, slavery, and the Mexican-American War. He wrote a satirical poem about the war in 1847 called Fireside Colloquies, where a father tries to explain the war to his child and the child draws some interesting parallels in morality. "Father, I've seen the volunteers dressed out in red and blue, and I should like to hear you tell me what they intend to do."
"These are the country's soldiers, child, and they intend to go to fight their country's battles away in Mexico."
"The country's battles, what are they? What is it fighting for?"
"I thought that folks were shot and killed whenever they went to war." "Just so, my boy, these volunteers for glory and renown will shoot and kill the Mexicans and knock their cities down."
"What have they done, those Mexicans? I should be glad to know. I think I've never heard before of serving people so."
"Done? They're a weak and paltry race, and all the papers say they owe our nation certain sums which they will never pay."
"Well, Sammy Jones is owing me a sixpence for a knife. I'll go some night and burn him out and take the fellow's life."
What? Take his life? What do you mean? Hold in your wicked tongue. You would be tried for murder, boy, and on the gallows hung. Then why not hang the volunteers? It is more wicked, then, to shoot and kill a single boy than 1,000 men? The volunteers obey the law. They only fight, you know, because the president himself has ordered them to go. And does he make men shoot and kill? Then let some pious folk a gallows build in Washington and hang up Mr. Polk. Boy, boy, you're talking rather wild. You'd better go upstairs and go to bed. It's getting late, and don't forget your prayers. Now, this was just 2 years before he wrote It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. By the time 1849 had come around, the war was over, but the resulting new U.S. territories had reignited the issue of slavery. As mentioned before, Sears was opposed to slavery, not just for the effect it had on the enslaved, but also for what it did to the slave owners. The unscrupulous, insatiable, and cruel love of rule that corrupted the souls of men who held such power over their fellow human beings. I'm giving you this long backstory about Edmund Hamilton Sears to give you his frame of mind when he wrote It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. You may notice something interesting about this Christmas hymn. It doesn't actually mention Jesus. It does take one particular line from the Nativity story. It's a quote from when the angels speak to the shepherds in their fields. In fact, you could say this song has its very own Linus moment.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
See, that Bible passage becomes this lyric.
Peace on the earth, goodwill to men.
Peace on the earth, goodwill to men. That is the core that this hymn is built around. But the seldom sung third verse really brings home the message Sears was trying to get across. But with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man, at war with man, hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. See, the song wasn't just about that midnight of the first Christmas. He was speaking about the contemporary issues of the day and how this war and the way we treated people of different races and different genders was hurting us. He saw the world as a darker place because people were not living the spirit of Christmas. This hymn had a message that went beyond scripture and was prescriptive of a way to fix society's ills. They didn't have the term at the time, but you could argue this is a woke Christmas carol. But hang on, because it's not actually a carol yet. Remember, we're still in 1849, and it's just a poem so far. It wasn't until the next year when Sears would reach out to composer Richard Storrs Willis to write music for the poem. So Willis wrote a melody that he called Carol. And Sears said, What you talking about, Willis? Probably, I assume, because what a bland name for a melody. But nevertheless, that's how the poem became a song.
Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on a hovering wing. And ever o'er its babel sounds, the blessed
However, there's a good chance that if you are listening to this from anywhere other than America, you're thinking, What kind of rubbish and poppycock is this? That's the wrong melody for this song, and is that supposed to be an impression of my accent? So, second question first, yes, and I'm sorry, but to your point about the melody, you're right. Because while we use Willis's carol melody here in the US, pretty much every other country uses a melody called Noel from English composer Arthur Sullivan. Yep, same lyrics, completely different melody. Looks like we got a Christmas remix!
Dad!
Oh, what's up, boys?
Please stop.
You are embarrassing yourself.
Fair enough. But whatever melody you listen to, I think we can all agree with the message of the song. The world could do with a whole lot less sin and strife and a whole lot more of the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing.
Now let's move on to our final segment today. Who sang it best? Every so often, we like to find two artists or groups who've done a recording of the same Christmas song and pit them against each other. It's all in good Christmas fun and really just gives us an excuse to listen to a little more Christmas music.
Since we just spent a while talking about It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and I've listened to a bunch of versions while preparing for this, I thought we'd feature two of them now. So, let's meet our contestants! In the red corner, it's the 14-time Grammy Award winner, known as the First Lady of Song, the Queen of Jazz, and Lady Ella, it's Ella Fitzgerald!
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold.
And in the green corner, she's got 6 Golden Globes, 3 Grammys, 2 Emmys, 1 Oscar and a partridge in a pear tree. She's Mary Poppins, y'all. It's Julie Andrews.
Peace on the earth.
Over to CantWaitForChristmasPod.com to hear full versions of the song and cast your vote. Then tune into our September episode to learn who sang it best. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. And speaking of thanks, thanks again to Anthony and Tom from Tis the Podcast for joining us today. You can find a link to their show in the show notes. You'll also find a link to the TikTok Christmas quesadilla recipe and the poll for who sang it best. Okay, that's enough from me. See you in the burr months, and until next time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2024.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, CantWaitForChristmasPod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are @ChristmasPod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
You know, Anthony, I think we're well past that time of year. It's time to pull out the Christmas movies.
Hit it! Oh, wait, wrong podcast.
Let's make this a little easier for Tim. I'll go on and sing us in. 5 golden things.
Guys, you don't need to. We have a whole jingle.
Bravo.
It's fine.
No, bravo.
Okay, it's fine. So I have to come clean about something. The original plan wasn't for all Christmas pizzadillas. Originally, the boys were going to pick their own ingredients, and yeah, you have a listen.
Michael, what would you like on your Christmas quesadilla?
Pepperoni.
And cheddar cheese or mozzarella?
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella and pepperoni?
Yep.
All right, on it. Hey, James. Mm-hmm. What would you like on your Christmas quesadilla?
I would like cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then... tortilla, and then cook that, take it out, salami, close it, eat it. Nom, 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 nom. Nom, 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 nom.
All right, calm it down. So you want some salami on top of the quesadilla?
Yeah, that's already cooked.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I am the father of the year, I didn't realize until I started cooking that the salami was old. Like, old. Like it had something that rhymes with old on it. So that's how we all ended up with quesadillas, okay? Now you know the truth!
Testing, testing. Candy, candy. Are you on?
Hold on. Okay, so.
This is,
First thing you need to say in unison is, Dad, Dad! Like you're trying to get my attention.
Dad, Dad!
Sorry.
Okay, now one of you has to say, please stop, and the other has to say, you're embarrassing yourself. So you
I'll go, please stop.
Okay.
Please stop.
You are embarrassing yourself. Like, for real, bro.
All right, well, that was not the reading I expected, but it's the reading I needed right now. Thank you, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Love you.
Candy, 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 candy.
Then you can add. Then you can improvise and add other things. Ugh, calm down, Tim. Why don't you? You don't need to improvise. You just need to say what the things I say, but say them with a little slower. This makes it so everyone gets a chance to see something they're interested in. And also a chance for us all to be exposed. As mentioned before, Sears was opposed to slavery, not just for the effect it had on the enslaved, but also for what it did to the slave owners, the unscrupulous, insatiable, and cruel love of rule that corrupted the souls of men who held such power over their other fellow.
Try to be serious and my mouth's not working!
It wasn't until the next year when Sears would reach out to composer Richard Starrs Willis to write music for the poem. I think I could say that sentence better, like I knew what was coming up. But to the point about the melody, you're right. Because while we use Willis's carol medley here in the U.S., pretty much every other country uses a medley... Because while we use Willis's carol medley here in the U.S. Melody! It's not a medley! Because while we use Willis's carol melody here in the U.S., pretty much every other country uses a medley... Melody, you are my nemesis. And in the green corner, she's got 6 Golden Globes, 3 Grammys, 2 Emmys, 1 Oscar, and a partridge in a pear... Why do my lips just give up mid-word sometimes? I don't understand. They're just like, forget it. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. And speaking of thanks, thanks again to Anthony and Tim from Tis the Po... No, Tim is not on Tis the Podcast. Tim is me, and I'm on this podcast.